Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. So this month we have been talking about how to survive suffering. And we looked at how Christ went through so much pain during the crucifixion and how he had victory over that in the resurrection and that he is alive. We talked about how we need to lean into the suffering and we need to glory in it, and that it's like working out. It makes us stronger. We have talked about it in a few different ways. And one of the problems with the problem of pain or the problem of suffering is that sometimes you try your best to make sense of it. And there are times that it just doesn't make sense. Yes, there are moments when you suffer and it's like either for a very obvious reason that you're suffering, or it's because you know something is really at work. So for example, sometimes you somebody comes at you and really criticizes you and attacks you because of your faith or because of some kind of moral stand that you've taken, or because you refuse to be the bad guy, or because you wouldn't go along with what everybody else is saying and doing, and you had to take a stand for somebody, and you get attacked because of that, or you lose your job because you refuse to lie, right? In those moments, it's like, okay, I'm suffering in this moment, but I can see what led to it, and I know that there's a moral purpose to it. Other times, you look at it and it's like, well, that just makes sense because I did something stupid, right? You went and you got mad, and so you kicked the brick wall wearing slippers and you broke your toe, okay? I don't think anybody leaves that situation going, oh God, why did you break my toe? Right? Because it's like you got mad and then you kicked the wall and you broke your toe. It makes sense. It's dumb. Other times you do something like you're speeding down the highway and you get pulled over and you get a ticket. And it's like if you're sitting there going, God, oh, why did you make me speed? Or, oh, God ruined my day because I got caught speeding. No, you got caught speeding because you were dumb. Right? There are things like that happen in our lives. You tell a lie, you cheat, you steal, you speed, you get caught. Pastor Brad said this to me a while ago. We were talking about something. He said, you play a dumb game, you get a dumb prize. Right? And so sometimes there are things in our lives where the suffering is either because of something dumb that somebody did, or it's because there's a really obvious moral conflict that's taking place. Sometimes it's you say no to your kid and he throws a fit because he's dumb. Or because you get attacked for your beliefs, or maybe it's even something like you go and you have surgery and there's a little bit of pain and suffering that goes along with the recovery. But it was, you know, that pain is okay because it has a moral purpose. And it has some kind of objective. But then there are other times in our lives when we face suffering and it doesn't seem to be for any good reason. It doesn't seem to have a very good cause. And it doesn't seem like you deserved it. Well, these are the moments like when your house burns down, your basement floods, your kids get a really horrible diagnosis, you're driving along and somebody hits you in their car, and you have a car accident. Somebody steals your money. Those moments where you've been abused, situations where there's murder or theft or rape. Like, these aren't moments where you could really look at it and be like, oh yeah, like, they stole the money from me because I took a moral stand. No, they stole your money because you have money. Like, there's no moral cause to it. Or you're there and you're like, well, my kid got sick, and you can't say, well, my kid got sick because I lied 10 years ago, or my kid got sick because he didn't listen to his uncle the other day, or like you can't make those judgments. You don't have those reasons. Sometimes there's suffering, there are bad things that happen in our lives, and there's pain that we go through, and there's no reason for it. It's nonsense. What are we supposed to do with those things? How is it that we're supposed to survive suffering in those things? Jesus, when he was crucified, like, he's looking at that, and he's like, I know I have to go through this to get to the end goal. But, like, well, there's abuse in your family, and betrayal, and disease, and disaster. What's the point? What are you supposed to do with that? Well, interestingly, there's a lot that goes on in this book that speaks to those situations. And those are the hardest situations, because we don't know why and we don't know what for. But as we do a little digging, we see that it gets talked about over and over again in Job. The story of Job in the Old Testament is about this guy who goes through all sorts of suffering, and he doesn't understand why. And the reason behind it, as the story tells, is that he was such a good man and he was devoted to God that actually Satan himself goes after him, trying to make him fail, trying to make him turn and betray God and give up on God and break him. And nowhere in the book does Job get that information. But in chapter 42, Job says this. He says to God, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. In Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 10, it says, see today, this is God speaking to Jeremiah, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the story of Joseph and his brothers. And Joseph is betrayed by his brothers. He's sold by his brothers into slavery. He's betrayed over and over and over again. And then years later, he meets his brothers. Joseph is in this place of power, and his brothers come to him begging for forgiveness, begging for a place to stay, begging for food. And Joseph says to him, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And as we look at those passages, we see that God has a number of purposes at play in these situations. Job had no idea why he was going through the stuff. The book of Job is filled with his buddies saying, well, this is because you did something wrong, or this is because you did something stupid, or it was because of this, or it was because you sinned, it was because you're bad, it's because you deserve it, you just need to admit that you deserve it. His wife says, why do you keep going? Just curse God and die. Job doesn't get the answer, but he realizes eventually at the end of the book that something's bigger than what he can understand. Jeremiah is called as a prophet to be this person that speaks out into the world about destruction that leads to rebuilding and to planting. And the suffering that he is talking about is about this renovation, this change, that you've got to tear down something in order to build something new in its place. Sometimes the house is so corrupted, so full of rot, that you have to bulldoze it and build something totally different. And sometimes the suffering is part of that. And then we get to Genesis, where Joseph's brothers are like, oh no, this is horrible. What we did was horrible. And Joseph comes to the realization that, yes, they intended it for evil. They intended it to live out their jealousy, but God used it for something good, and the picture was much bigger than what anybody realized. And then we get to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. This is in the New Testament, way near the back of your Bible. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church in the city of Ephesus. And near the end of this letter, this is what he says. It's chapter 6, starting in verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As I was trying to navigate this question of, okay, so what do we do with the suffering that makes no sense? How are we supposed to navigate it? How do we survive it? What are we supposed to, just how are we supposed to do it? I came to the realization that no, not everything in our world makes a whole lot of sense. And there's a pile of stuff that we're going to go through in our lives that we're not going to understand. In this life, we are not going to get the answer to it. But at the same time, the enemy is going to use absolutely every opportunity he can to rob you of life and righteousness. Suffering is a characteristic of the broken world. Peace is a characteristic of the kingdom of God. We live in a broken world, and so there is suffering. It is part of our lives. It is part of this world. It is part of a world broken by sin and evil. And the enemy is going to use every opportunity he can to use that suffering to stir up inside of you some way to rob you of life, to rob you of peace, to rob you of joy, and to pull you away from God. And as much as peace is a characteristic of the kingdom of God and not our fallen world, I think the important thing we need to grab hold of is this. We need to acknowledge that suffering is never natural. It may be normal. It may be common. But if peace is a characteristic of the kingdom of God and not the broken world, then we need to acknowledge that suffering entered the world when it was broken. Suffering is not natural. It was not built into the fabric of our lives and into our world. It is an addition. It has been brought about because things got broken. When you see smoke, what do you think? Fire. When you experience pain, we need to think war. If smoke means fire, pain means war. It means that what we are up against is we are up against evil. We are in a battle. Peace is a characteristic of the kingdom of God, not the broken world, and so suffering is never natural. When you see smoke, you think fire. When you experience pain, you need to understand that that is because we are in a war. And the enemy is going to use every opportunity he can to rob you of life and your righteousness. And that comes out in a number of ways. Sometimes the sin that we live in, the sin that we do, has those natural, unnatural consequences of pain and suffering. We live in a broken world. We live around broken people. We deal with evil people. Sometimes the suffering is because there's a larger organization of people doing evil things. Sometimes it's because your neighbor is a jerk. Sometimes it's because somebody has decided to be greedy or selfish or rude. Somebody has decided to be violent. And that pain comes and that suffering comes. Sometimes it is, in fact, the enemy with his minions and his demons attacking you. Other times, it's just the characteristic of our broken world that causes that suffering. And the enemy wants to use it to destroy you, to tear you apart. But there's always more going on than meets the eye. You are not fighting against flesh and blood. You are not fighting against the earth. We are in a war that goes much deeper than we realize. So what are you supposed to do with that then? So if suffering is never natural, if suffering is a part of this broken world, and if the enemy is at work in it to destroy you, and I'm not saying that every stubbed toe and everything that goes wrong in your life is somehow a demon behind it. No. I think it's part of this unnatural consequence of a broken world. But I think that the demons and the minions are there in those moments trying to get you to react a certain way to it. And it becomes very easy for us to just say, well, either I'm going to blame it on me or I'm going to blame it on that other person, or it's just something that I've got to go through, or you start really questioning, why is this going on? And we need to understand that it is not simply a natural phenomenon. It is part of this battle that we live in. And Paul says that we need to put on the armor of God so that we can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For a struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he goes on to say, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, that all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare the fearlessly as I should. The way I see it, the way I read it, how I look at this, basically Paul is saying, how do you survive suffering in this world? Put on the armor of God. How do you survive when the enemy comes attacking, whether he's causing the pain or he's manipulating you because of the pain, or he wants to come in and twist you and throw things apart when there is pain? He says, put on the full armor of God. And in doing that, then you will be able to survive and outlast the suffering. And he outlines it. He says, put on the belt of truth. Let truth define you. Refuse to accept the lies. Refuse to tell yourself lies. Refuse to accept the lies that other people tell you. Refuse to build some kind of lie that is more comfortable than the truth. No. Pull your pants up. Keep them up with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Live right and depend on God's righteousness. And when you do that, that closes the door to shame and guilt and gossip and manipulation. Because if you know you're right, you're doing it the right way, or that God's righteousness has covered you, and that even when you screw up, you're okay because His righteousness covers you and takes care of it, you don't need to feel shame, and you don't need to feel guilt, and you don't need to be defeated by those things, and you don't need to be manipulated to cover it up and to hide it and to somehow make it better. But you can depend on God to fix these things and to guide you through it. It says, put on the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace. Always be ready to embrace peace. Always be ready to share it. He says, use the shield of faith. Build your trust in God so much that when doubts and fears come and everything the enemy throws at you comes and you want to doubt about what's going to happen next and is God going to come through and can this really play out and is God really at work, you extinguish it by saying, I trust God so much that whatever happens, He is going to take care of it. It's the men in the fiery furnace who say, no, we are not going to bow down to any god, even if God doesn't save us from the furnace. We will not bow to any other god. Their faith blocked the attack. Put on the helmet of salvation. Protect your head by actually letting God save you. Letting that define you and direct you. If you're here and you have not committed your life to following Christ, you do not have that salvation, and your head is wide open for attack. He says, use the sword of the Spirit. Know the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit always. Talk to Him. Be on the on the offense, taking ground and handing over ground, every step in front of you, handing that over to him. When you have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and you're praying the Spirit, you are covered with the armor of God, and that allows you to then go through suffering protected. It allows you to go through suffering acknowledging that the enemy is on the prowl. It allows you to survive suffering that makes no sense. Bad things happen. And I don't have a reason for it. But I know how you react to those bad things matters more than the bad things. Don't fall for the lie that says that suffering is natural and is always a consequence of your behavior. Suffering was never meant to be part of our world. It was never meant to be part of our lives. So be on your guard. And when you are on your guard and you have that armor of God on, you'll find that you can endure the pain, that you will remain faithful, that you won't compromise, that you won't give in and you won't give up. You'll find that you honor your marriage vows, that you'll do the right thing when no one is looking, and you'll do the right thing when everyone is looking, and you will point people to Jesus, and people will be saved, and people will be changed, and your family will know who God is, and you will get through, and after you've gone through it all, you will still be standing. But we've got to put on the armor of God. The worship team's coming back up, and they're going to do two or three more songs here. And this is that moment where I hope that you're hearing, you're picking up on what God is saying to you this morning, and that it's not just the words I'm saying, but you're picking up on some of the nuance and the whispers of the Holy Spirit saying to you, hey, that thing you're going through, be on the lookout. Or maybe he's saying, you know what, you've got to surrender your life. You've got to give it up to me so that I can protect it. Maybe it's a situation where you've really started going down the wrong path and playing the pity party, or just kind of giving yourself an excuse to behave however you want because things are bad. And you need to start paying attention to what God is up to. And you need to get your shield up. And you need to embrace truth. Whatever it is, during these next two or three songs, try to focus in on what God is telling you this morning. And take that step of obedience to embrace the armor of God, because suffering is never natural.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.